morning. We're Daf Tzadi Gimel Amabet, page Kuf Aleph and Ein Yaakov Var, paragraph Samach Gimel. Vayhi vahem mivnei Yehuda Daniel Hanani Mishael Varzaria. Pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Daniel lists the children that Nebuchadnezzar took to raise to serve in his court. It says there were among them from the sons of Yehuda Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. I'm Rabbi Elazar, Kulan mibnei Yehudahim. Rabbi Elazar said they are all from the tribe of Yehuda. Rabbi Shua bar Nachmeni Amar, Daniel mibnei Yehuda, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, Mishar Shatim. Rabbi Shua bar Nachmeni says Daniel was from Yehuda, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were from other tribes. Maral explains Rabbi Shua bar Nachmeni's reason that we're going to see later in the Gemara in a couple of days. Next week, maybe, that the Gemara says that Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were prophets, and Daniel was not a prophet. So you would have expected Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah to be listed first. And since Daniel is listed first, it must be that he is from a more higher-ranking tribe than they are, and therefore he must be from Yehuda, and they are not from Yehuda. We'll discuss when we get there whether when the Gemara says Daniel was not a prophet, does that mean he was never a prophet, or in a particular occasion he wasn't a prophet? That's a discussion for another time, because some Rishonim, when they list the 48 prophets, do list Daniel, and we'll have to clear that up. Gemara continues. Umibanecha asher yitzu mimcha asher tolid ikachu. Pasuk in Melachim Beis, the Navi Ishaya says to the king Chizkiah during the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, from your sons who will come out from you, they will take, vayu sarisim v'chal melech bavel. They will be sarisim throne room of the king of Bavel. We're going to discuss what the word sarisim means. The context of the pasuk is in Sefer Melachim Beis, Perek Chaf. It says, "Ba'it hahi," at that time, after Chizkiah was very sick and he recovered from his illness, and it says, "Ba'it hahi," at that time, shalach. Birodach Baladan ben Baladan Melch Bavel Sfarim Uminchael Chizkiyahu. Birodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, the king of Bavel, sent letters and a gift to Chizkiyahu. Ki shama ki chala Chizkiyahu. He heard that Chizkiyahu had been sick. And we've mentioned this Gemara previously, that this is when Nebuchadnezzar was the scribe of the king, and he was away that day, and he heard that the letter had been written in a disrespectful way. It should have mentioned God first, and it didn't. And he ran after the messenger to get the letter back. So that was the same incident. He sent a letter to the king of Babel, sent a letter to Chizkiyahu, and as a result of that, Chizkiyahu gave the messengers of the king of Bavel a tour of the Beis HaMikdash and showed them all the secrets and treasures of the Beis HaMikdash. And Yeshayahu and Navi came and said, what was this conversation? And Chizkiyahu said they came from a far land, from Bavel. And Yeshayahu says, what did you show them? And he says, I showed them everything. So it says, Vayomri Yeshayahu Chizkiyahu Shema Devar Hashem. So Yeshayahu says to Chizkiyahu, hear are the words of Hashem. Hinei yamim va'im, days are coming. V'nisa kol asher b'veitecha v'asher atzru avotecha ad hayom hazeh bavela. Everything in your house and all the treasures that your ancestors gathered will be carried to Bavel. Ad hayom, lo yivater davar amar Hashem. Nothing will be left back, says Hashem. And also from your children who will come from you, they will, yikach, he will take, Yikachu, rather, they will be taken. Vayu sarisim v'chal ha-melech. They will be sarisim in the throne room of the king. So the context of the pasuk that we just read in our Gemara is a punishment for Chizkiah for showing all the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash to the messengers of the king of Bavel. So Gemara asks, my sarisim, what does the word sarisim mean? Marsha says that ordinarily the word saris means an officer of the king. However, here it's used as a punishment for Chizkiyahu. Now, to have his descendants be officers in the court of the king is not a punishment. It means they're very distinguished. Now, Marsha doesn't say, but you might ask, well, but being in Golos is a punishment. And that's true, but that's not what he was told. He wasn't told they'll be in Golos. He was told there'll be officers in the palace of the king. If the Jewish people are going to be in Golos, there's no better place than to be an officer in the palace of the king. Sounds like a great job. So how is it a punishment? So that's why, according to Marsha, that's why the Gemara asks, I know the word sarisim usually means officer of the king, but what does it mean here? That's how the Marsha explains Gemara's question. So my sarisim, what are sarisim? Amar Rav, sarisim mamash. Rav says it means they were sterilized by the king of Bavel. The word saris also is the word for a male who is sterilized. So Rav says it means that they were sterilized, as kings often did, so that they would have they wouldn't get married and be busy with their wives and children and not have time for the king. So that's Rav's explanation. Rechinina marsh nistarsa avodah kochavim v'mehem. And Rechinina says that avodah zarah became sterilized in their days because they refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. And he tried to punish them, and he wasn't able to punish them. He threw them in the fire, and they came out successfully. So avodah zarah was, so to speak, sterilized in their days. Then what's the punishment for Chizkiyahu? The punishment for Chizkiyahu is that his descendants would be put to this difficult test. They would succeed, but we daven. Every morning say in brachos, right? Al tivyenu l'lidei nisayon. Don't test us. We don't want Hashem to give us difficult tests. So presumably that's the punishment that was foretold to Chizkiyahu. So Gemara asks, Bishlam l'man damar shnistar savada kochavim v'mehem, according to the opinion that it means that avodah zarah was sterilized in their days, haynu dichti v'chava lo itai b'hon. So that I understand the pasuk when Chananim, Mishael, and Azariah are in the furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar sees them, he says there were no injuries on them. El aman damar sarisim mamash. But if Nebuchadnezzar had sterilized them, ma'ich v'chavalo itai b'hon, what does it mean there were no injuries on them? Obviously, if they had a surgical procedure that made them not normal, then they did have an injury on them. So our answer is chavla denura. It's referring to injury from the fire. They had previous injuries, but this means they had no injury from the fire. Where it says v'aktiv v'reach denura lo adat b'hon, that would be redundant. It says they didn't even have a smell of the fire. So our answer is lo chavla v'lo recha. The pasuk is telling me both things. They didn't have an injury, and they didn't even have an aroma of the fire.
Nebuchadnezzar would have considered something he had done to them not to be an injury anyway.
That's an interesting question.
I mean, when he's looking at them at a distance, I mean, to me it was like, that might not see a surgical scar if it was actually done by surgery, which I don't know. Yeah. Looking at them coming out of the fire,
I guess if a Navi, whereas the question is if a Navi records forever that they had no injury on them, how do we understand it in a not only through Nebuchadnezzar's eyes, but through the eyes of the word of Hashem, that they had no injury on them. So, Mara, what both of you are saying could be correct, but that's both looking at it through Nebuchadnezzar's eyes. Mara's looking at it through a more cosmic viewpoint. Perhaps. I that's a good question. I'm not 100% sure.
Also, So Rashi says that Rav didn't have the girsa that they got married.
No, he didn't have a girsa. He argues with the opinion before that after they, right, we asked where did Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah go after this because they never appear again in Tanakh. And one of the opinions was they moved to Eretz Yisrael, got married, and had children. So Rav, he's saying Rav doesn't hold like that opinion. That's correct. Okay, Mara continues. Now, according to the opinion, it says that sarisim means that Avodah Zarah was sterilized in their lifetime. Hainu dichtiv. Now I can understand the pasuk, which is in the Haftorah that we read on fast days. So said Hashem to the sarisim who observe my Shabbos. Pasuk, who are these sarisim that the pasuk is talking about? So if you say that sarisim means Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, who in whose lifetime Avodah Zarah was sterilized, it lost its potency, then I understand Hashem is speaking to these sarisim. El amandamar sarisim amash, but if it means that Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were sterilized, Mishtai Krab Gnuta de Tzadike, would the Torah speak, would Pasuk speak in a way that's puts down Tzadikim, and it's Hashem saying, so says Hashem to the Sarisim. Well, who's he talking to? In a way that's going to mock them, that they have this injury? So our answer is according to the one who says that they were literally, according to Shmuel Bar Nachmani, who says, I'm sorry, according to Rav, who says that they were literally sterilized. So he also agrees that the word sarisim means Avodah Zarah was sterilized in their lifetime, lost its power. So, and the Pasuk, when it addresses the Sarisim, it's using the term in that context. Bisham Alaman Demar Sarisim Amash Gmar continues now on page Kuf Dalet. According to one who says it means literally they were sterilized. I understand why the Pasuk says is a continuation of Pasuk we just read from, I said, is in the Haftarah for fast days. They will be in my house and on my walls, a memorial better than sons and daughters. In other words, that's why Hashem says, your righteousness is better than sons and daughters. El amanda amar nishnistar sabada kochavim imeyam. But according to the one who says that they're called sarisim only because Avodah Zarah lost its power in their days, my tov mi banim ubanot, why say they're better than sons and daughters? If they were normal people who had sons and daughters, then why say they're better than sons and daughters? Amar Rav Nachman Reisach mi banim sheyu lehem gvar uvameitu. They had children previously who died, and the pasuk is consoling them that they are better than sons and daughters. Mara continuing to darshan the same sukkim. My shem olam etein lo shei lo yikareit. What does it mean? I will give him a name forever that will not be cut off. Rabbi Tanchum darsh bar kapara v'sipori. Rabbi Tanchum said that bar kapara darshin v'sipori zeh sefer Daniel shenikra al shmo. This is the sefer Daniel, which is called Daniel, which is called after his name, as opposed to, we'll see in the next Gemara, the Sefer Nehemiah, the prophecy of Nehemiah, or the events of Nehemiah are not called after his name. In fact, we have a book called Nehemiah, but actually it's in the counting of the 24 books of Tanakh, it's part of Ezra. So that's the next Gemara. We'll discuss why Nehemiah didn't merit to have a book named after him. Daniel did merit to have a book named after him. Now, first of all, the Radak points out, if you look here in the very last line of page Kof Daled, it says, Zeh Sefer Daniel. The name is not Daniel, as people commonly say. The correct spelling of the name is Daniel. The Aleph is silent. The Tzere, the two dots, is under the Yud. So the name is pronounced Daniel. In Sefer Yechezkel, we find three times that the name Daniel is written without a Yud. Dalet, Nun, Aleph, Lamed. Pasuk Yechezkel, Yud Dalet, Yud Dalet, says, Vayu shloshet anashim ha'ele v'tocha. These three people, I guess I should start a little back. Pasuk Yud Gimel says, Hashem speaks to Yechezkel, says, Ben Adam eres ki techata li limol mal. The land will sin before me. Ben atiti edi aleh, I will raise my hand against it. V'shavarti la matei lechem. Yishlachti bera'av, v'chrati mimena Adam v'ima. There will be famine. I will cut off men and animals from the land. Pasuk Yudalad, v'ayu shloshet ha'anashim ha'ele v'tocha. These three people will be in it: Noach, Daniel, and Iov. Noach, Daniel, and Iov. Daniel is spelled without an without a yod in that case. Hema v'tzidkatam yinatzu nafsham. They, in their righteousness, will save themselves. Ne'um Hashem Elokim. So says Hashem Elokim. Now, in fact, neither Noach nor Daniel nor Iov was in Eretz Yisrael when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed during the exile between the first and second Beis Hamikdash. Daniel lived at that time, but he was exiled 11 years before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. The Navi is saying that there is such a thing as tzaddikim who can save themselves and not have enough merit to save anyone else. As we know, Noach did. Noach saved his family, but didn't save the rest of the world. Iov saved himself, but couldn't save his family. And likewise, Daniel saved himself, but didn't have merit to save the rest of the Jewish people. Now, because Daniel is written three times in Sefer Yechezkel without a Yod, the question arises, what is the correct spelling of the name Daniel? If somebody named Daniel is giving a get to his wife, the name has to be spelled correctly in a get. How should one spell Daniel? So Rav Chaim Falaji in Nefesh Kochai, letter Dalet, paragraph Chaf Dalet, quotes another Sefer, Ginat Vardim, who says that Daniel should be spelled with a Yod and not without a Yod, but ideally, he should give two gets, one that has his name spelled with a Yod, and one that has his name spelled without a Yod. And then he says that, no, actually, this Chumrah is meaningless. Why? Who wrote Sefer Yechezkel? The Anshei Knesset Sagdola, the sages at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash. And who wrote Sefer Daniel? Also the Anshei Knesset Sagdola, same people. So the same people, the Chachamim who wrote Sefer Daniel spelled Daniel with a yod. In all of Sefer Daniel, it's spelled with a yod. For some reason, which we'll see, in Sefer Yechezkel, which is not the main place where Daniel is discussed, they chose to write it without a yod. We'll discuss why. But they knew what they were doing, and this and they chose in all of Sefer Daniel to write Daniel with a yod. So that must be the correct spelling of Daniel, and we don't need to be more from than they are, and write two gets, one with a yod and one without a yod.
They didn't write it with Nekudot.
Correct.
So when we're saying this is the correct Nekudot versus that's the correct Nekudot, where is that coming from?
Well, the Radak says that, and it's based on Masorah. What is, when you're reading Tanakh, what's the correct? If somebody would choose to read this paragraph as a Haftorah, because back in the day there were no fixed Haftorahs, you call up somebody for Haftorah, and he gets up and decides, I think this passage is relevant to the Parsha, I'm going to read this passage. That's why we find in the Gemara and Megillah, and Mishnah and Megillah, certain parts you're not allowed to read as Haftorah. You learn that Mishnah, you think, well, we don't read these as Haftorahs. Why are you telling me you're not allowed to? We don't. The answer is, once upon a time, anybody could make up any Haftorah he wanted, as long as, you know, if he was challenged, why'd you pick this one? He could explain why he picked that one. So if somebody would choose this chapter from Yechezkel to read, you have to know how to pronounce the words.
Radak pronounces it the other way.
That just tells you can't bring proof from what everybody does. As they say, his expression, Das Balei Batim, Hefech Das Torah. The das, the opinion of everybody, is the opposite of das Torah. So I guess this would be...
Even you were saying that it was... I'm not criticizing you, but even you were saying that it should be the other way, but then when we were discussing, Daniel, you're pronouncing...
That's true. So I
get everybody.
I need to be more careful, I guess. Radak, I mean, there are other places.
I'm just saying,
it's
not hanging
out
by himself.
No, Radak presumably has Masorah, that's how it's pronounced. Another place, the Radak points out pronunciation contrary to what everybody thinks, because everybody knows the song, the Kovei Hashem Yachlifu Koach. I don't want to sing for you now, but I think it's an Avram Free song, Mordechai Medevin.
Daddy
song. Okay. Except there's no such word in Tanakh. Vekovei Hashem Yachlifu Koach. Radak says it's Vekoyei Hashem Yachlifu Koach. And that is Aftorah for Lech Lecha. So if you're going to read it correctly, you have to pronounce it Vekoyei Hashem Yachlifu Koach. Not like the popular song. So everybody's singing the song. But the Radak says it's wrong. Okay, so Rav Chaim Palagi says, so the Anshei Knesset Agdola knew what they were doing, and they wrote Daniel with a yud, and that's how it should be written in a get, and presumably in Sefer Yechezkel, it's written for some drasha. So he gives one possible explanation for what the drasha is. Gemara in Yoma, Daf Ayin Zayin, Amud Aleph, says, if all the Chachamim of the world were on one side of the scale and Daniel was on the other side of the scale, he would outweigh all of them. Nevertheless, he was very humble, and his humility is demonstrated by the shortening of the spelling of his name. Why is the Yud taken out? So he says, and we'll just mention this and go on. Yud represents the sphera of Chochmah. Hashem's name, the first Yud, or the only Yud, Yud Kei Vav Kei, represents the sphera of Chochmah. Chochmah is wisdom. Daniel was wiser than everyone else, but because he was humble, so the Yud is missing. That's what he explained. There's a commentary, there's a sefer called Sefer Chassidim, It's nothing to do with Hasidim, like Hasidim today. It's a sefer written in the 1100s or 1200s, Rehuda Hasid. And there's a commentary on it. I believe it's an anonymous commentary called Perush Kadmon, an early commentary. And he suggests that the reason, well, Sefer Chassidim says, I guess I should read that first, paragraph Kuf Tzadi Dalet. Im Nochrim Yikru L'Shum Yudi B'Shem Elohim. If Goyim want to name a Jew after their God, Al Yaniach Elohim Likro Shmokach. He shouldn't let them. Okay? If someone named Chaim, Hananiah, Kuna or whatever goes out, gets a job, and they say, you need an English name, let's call you Christopher, he shouldn't allow himself to be called Christopher, because it alludes to a non-Jewish God. So he shouldn't allow that. Shereik Tiv, because it says, Hinei Chacham Atami Daniel, another place in Yechezkel where the name Daniel is written without a Yod, is Perek Chav Chet Pasuk Gimel, where somebody named Hiram tried to set himself up as a god because he was so wise, went to his head. And the Navi says to him, are you wiser than Daniel? And there, Daniel is written without a yod. And the point is, and that Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar wanted to treat him as a god, and he didn't allow it. And you're not wiser than he is, so you're not a god either. Why is it written without a yod? Because Daniel rebuked Nebuchadnezzar, who wanted to make him a god. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to bring him sacrifices to him, and Daniel said no. But when he named him, when Nebuchadnezzar named Daniel Belshazzar after a Babylonian god, Daniel did not object. And because of that, he's punished, and the Yod is removed from his name. So we understand why there in Perek Chav Chet, the Yod is removed from his name, because it's directly referring to is the fact that he objected to being a god, but he didn't object to being named after a god, from which Sefer Chassidim learns that a person should object to being named after a non-Jewish god. But why is missing a yud here in Perek Yudaled, where it's referring to tzaddikim who saved themselves but couldn't save the rest of the people? So this Perush Kadmon suggests that that's exactly the point. There's something lacking in him, the fact that his merit wasn't great enough to save all the Jewish people, only great enough to save himself, and that's why the Yod is missing, to indicate that fact. The Radak on that pasuk has some interesting things to say. So he says, "Vayu shloshet anashim ha'ele b'tocha." Noach, Daniel, Yov. Daniel chaser hayod, as we mentioned. Daniel is missing the yod. Chen achachar, he's carved for Arsha. Yecham atam Daniel. Likewise, Perek Chavchet, Pasuk Gimel. Are you wiser than Daniel? Vayod nikreit, the yod is written. Afapi sheinak tuva, even though it's not written. Ki yod Yerushalayim, just like Yerushalayim, which in Tanakh is often, I'm not sure always, I don't remember, but often spelled. We spell Yerushalayim Yud Resh Vav Shin Lamed Yud Mem. Tanakh is often missing the second Yud. The Aleph Nacha, the Aleph is silent. Ki in Daniel Ki Atzerei Tachad Yud VeYud Digusha, because the Tzerei is under the Yud and the Yud has a Dagesh. So it's the Yud serves both the Nun before and is a separate syllable itself. Daniel. So what do these three tzaddikim, Noach, Eov, and Daniel, have in common? They each saw three worlds, Banui, V'charev, Banui. They saw the world built, in other words, they saw the world functioning normally. They saw destruction, and they saw the world rebuilt. Noach, Ra'ah, Olam, Banui, V'ra'ah, Charev, Mabul, V'ra'ah, Banui. Noach saw the world before the Mabul, during the Mabul, and after the Mabul. Daniel ra'ah beit Mikdash banui. Daniel saw the first base of Mikdash. Ra'ah charev. He saw the destruction. Ra'ah banui, and he saw it rebuilt. Af bishlo ra'ah charev beinav. He didn't actually see the base of Mikdash destroyed, because kiva galutaya. He was already in Galus. Shigalaim yoyakim. He was exiled 11 years before the base of Mikdash was destroyed. So it doesn't mean he physically saw the destruction. But he saw the world of the destruction. It was destroyed in his days. And then he was still alive when Koresh commanded that the base of Mikdash be rebuilt. Eov Ra'av Atzmo. Apparently more than 80 years. Doesn't have to be that long.
You saw it
as a child. As he was a child. Oh, he clearly was a child when the first base Mikdash was destroyed. And then lived through 70 years of Galus. And Eov, Ra'at, Smol, Banui, B'manim, B'manot, Osher, and Chasim. Eov saw his own world with wealth and with sons and daughters and wealth. Ra'at, Smol, Charev, Mibanim, B'manot, and he saw his world destroyed, his loss of his children. Mikol, Nechasav, Umudukev, Yisrim, and lost all his money and suffering terribly. Hakach, Ra'at, Smol, Banui, and then he saw his world rebuilt. Zecharam v'inyan zeh. So why were they mentioned here? Ki churban ha'aretz yeh b'avon ha'yoshvim ba. The churban, the destruction of the land, is because of the sin of those living in it. Ve'em v'tziz katam lo yitzilu el atzmam. They, in their righteousness, could only save themselves. Ki Noach levado haya tzadik b'dorayim banav. Noach alone was a tzadik in his generation with his children, implying, according to Radak, that Noach's children were also tzadikim. Moshe Amar, Ki Otcha Reiti Tzadik Lefanai Vador Azez. It says, you, I see as a tzadik in this generation. Lo Yitzil Mikol B'nei Doro Elohu V'Anav L'Vadam Shehayu Tzadikim. He only saved from his old generation his sons who were tzadikim. V'Daniel Gam Kein Lo Yitzil B'Tzikato Al Atzmo. Daniel only saved himself. Now maybe you'll say Daniel didn't save himself. He went into Galus. So Radak has an answer for that. He had to go into Galus. He couldn't save himself from Galus. If he had saved himself from Galus, he would have been the only person in Eretz Yisrael. It was a 52-year period after the first base of Mikdash was destroyed when nobody lived in Eretz Yisrael. That's, incidentally, why we have Tzom Gedalia. People wonder, you know, who was Gedalia that we should fast when he was killed? We don't fast when other tzaddikim were killed. The answer is, we're not just fasting for Gedalia. Once Gedalia was killed, began a 52-year period when no human or animal, no living thing, set foot in Eretz Yisrael for 52 years. And that's what the Navi Yechezkel is referring to in the previous pasuk. It says, V'chrati mimena adam v'ima, I will cut off, obliterate from the land man and animal. This is a period of no inhabitants whatsoever in Eretz Yisrael. So Daniel couldn't have stayed there. He couldn't be the only person living in the country for 52 years. Ohu v'chaverav tzadikim Yechezkel, Chananya, Mishael, v'Azariah. Or even if a few other tzadikim had stayed there too, like Yechezkel, Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah, it wouldn't have been such a pleasant place. How could there be a few people living in a land that's completely destroyed? So it's for their own good that they were exiled, so that they should not see the Churban. They were exiled 11 years before the Churban, so they should not see it. It was a favor for them. That there were pious people who were killed in the Korban and they could not save themselves. As it says in Tehillim, so it could be that he was that there were a few Hasidim among many people, and they got caught up in the justice that was meted out to the Jewish people. Aval, because we're familiar with that, the Holocaust, Hashem for whatever reason decided to destroy a large part of Jewish people, and many tzaddikim were caught up. That's the way it works. That's their merit saved themselves. I don't understand what's the question. Correct. The Eov Gamkin Yitzil Tzmo Levad Mitav Lo Yitzil Banav Ubnotav. Eov saved himself, but he couldn't save his children. Ki Lo Hayu Tzadikim, they were not righteous. Lo Shamari Banecha Chatulo Vayishachem Yad Pisham. As it says in Eov, if your sons sinned, Hashem sent them the way of their sins. V'chein Amru Rabbeinu Zal, and Gemara says later in our chapter, Vein Miyadi Matzil, there is no one who can save from me. Ein Avraham Matzil Yishmael, Avraham cannot save Yishmael. Vein Yitzchak Matzil Ad Esav, Yitzchak cannot save Esav. Eov Lo Hitzil Atzmo, Eov Misurin, Eov could not even save himself from suffering. Hilu Tovato Haya. Why not? Because it was for his own good. L'marik sata v'not shayubo, to cleanse the few sins that he had. Even though he didn't know he had these sins, he thought he was perfectly righteous. He couldn't understand why he was suffering, but he had some sins. Od zachar ela shosha is another three things, another thing that Noach, Eov, and Daniel have in common. Ki shloshtam amdu b'tzidkatam v'nisayom l'nitzlu. They all three withstood a difficult trial and were saved. There's no greater nisayon than what Noach went through. That Hashem told him to make a teva. He made it in front of his whole generation. It was against what people wanted. The people are unnoticed that they're going to be wiped out. He trusted in Hashem and was not afraid that he would be killed. This will also be discussed much later in our chapter. Daniel also withstood a great test when he was thrown into the lion's den. That was after there was the jealous ministers of the king wanted to get him in trouble, so they convinced the king to make a decree that no one could pray to any god, and Daniel davened three times a day and was caught and was thrown into the lion's den. V'tach b'kel yiprach she'asilenu, he trusted in Hashem to save him. V'lo kafar bo mi'irat mitato, he did not deny Hashem and not daven because he was afraid of death. V'nitzal, and he was saved. V'chein Iov amad b'nisayon she'ikau ha'satan. Bishchin ra mikaf raglov ad kod kodo. Eov also withstood Nisayon. He was hit by the Satan with skin disease from the sole of his foot to the top of his head. Bamad b'nisayon lo chata b'svatav l'dever d'rima shlo kein k'neged ha'keli parach. And nevertheless, he did not sin with his words to speak untrue words against Hashem. V'nitzal, and he was saved. V'fichach zachar tzidkat ha'ela shosha tzadikim. Therefore, the righteousness of these three tzadikim is mentioned. Afal pichein hema b'tzidkatam yitzilu et asman. And despite this great righteousness, they could only save themselves, v'lo achirim imam, but they could not save others. And that's what the Navi is saying, that there will be tzadikim who will be able to save themselves, but not save the Jewish people from the great punishment that's coming at the time of the Korban, just like Daniel was one of them, and just like Noach and Eov saved themselves and couldn't save others. So that's what the situation will be at the time of the Korban. Okay, have a good day.